I want to remind you, if you still have your palm leaves, I'm going to take them home on Monday night and make ashes out of them by burning them. So if you still have them, please bring them into the office tomorrow so that I can collect them all up and burn them all up for Ash Wednesday. Ash Wednesday is a tradition that probably started back with the apostles. And it was formalized in about 325 at the Council of Nicaea. And then for many denominations at the Reformation in the 16th century, it was part of the bathwater that was thrown out with the baby. When a lot of the denominations said, we're not going to do this anymore because this is what certain denominations do, so we're not. And what I want to say is I think we need to bring it back. We need to bring it back because it's a time of preparing for Easter. Good Friday and Easter need to be prepared for. It's not something that just you come to and boom, it's there. I need to prepare my heart and I need to prepare my mind. So on this Wednesday, we'll have an Ash Wednesday service here in the sanctuary after supper, say probably about 6:45. If you're not coming to supper, we'll be here in the sanctuary. And we'll have an Ash Wednesday service in a similar way that we had last year, but this year we're going to add some music to it, okay? If you have some questions about it and want some more understanding about it and for some reason or another it doesn't click with you on Wednesday, please let me know. I look forward to Ash Wednesday every year. And in the South Hill area, we all gathered together, all the churches gathered together for an Ash Wednesday service. We went to the Catholic Church and joined in there with them. And then every Wednesday, we had services. Just like we have services here every Tuesdays after Ash Wednesday. Not this Tuesday, but next Tuesday we'll be meeting at the Presbyterian Church with them. The week after that we'll be meeting at the Methodist Church, and then we'll be meeting here on the third week. And then that rotation happens again, and then on Easter Sunday morning, we are the host for sunrise service, and we'll serve breakfast afterwards here at the church for all three churches. Somebody from the Presbyterian Church will be preaching. Look forward to that. So our Lenten journey goes through a number of weeks and a number of different things. I hope that you'll be able to attend some of it so that you can be prepared for the incredible surprise of Easter morning. The incredible surprise of Easter morning. Today I want to read to you from Exodus, the 34th chapter, starting in verse 29 and reading down through the end of the chapter. This is Moses' second trip to the top of the mountain. When Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tablets of the covenant law in his hands, he was not aware that his face was radiant because he had spoken with the Lord. When Aaron, his brother, and all the Israelites saw Moses, his face was radiant, and they were afraid to come near him. But Moses called to them, so Aaron and all the leaders of the community came back to him, and he spoke to them. Afterward, all the Israelites came near him, and he gave them all the commands the Lord had given him on Mount Sinai. When Moses finished speaking to them, he put a veil over his face. But whenever he entered the Lord's presence to speak with him, he removed the veil until he came out. And when he came out and told the Israelites what he had been commanded, they saw that his face was radiant. Then Moses would put a veil back over his face until he went in to speak with the Lord. I want to honestly tell you that sometimes I wonder. Sometimes I wonder. Sometimes I wonder as I look out on Sunday mornings, has God come into your life? Why do I wonder? Because sometimes I don't see it in your face. And I may not hear it in your answer. Well, how are you today? Well, I made it here. Well, how are you today? Well, I guess there's one more day I'm on this side of the soil. You see, sometimes I wonder. Because I think a relationship with God should change us. I think a relationship with God should change us in a dynamic way. Now, I'm not asking for everybody to be overly bubbly before their first cup of coffee in the morning. I can't do that. I can't do that. I need the coffee cup that says, don't talk yet. Almost there. Now you can talk. That's the coffee cup I need. Except I found one that I liked even better. The last line at the bottom of the cup says, now you can talk after you get me another cup of coffee. You see, there's something about a relationship with God that should change us, and people should be able to tell. You shouldn't look the same. You shouldn't act the same. You shouldn't reflect the same. Now, this is Moses' second trip up the mountain. The first time he came down with the Ten Commandments, he found out that they had made a golden calf. And they were worshiping the golden calf, and he threw the two tablets down and broke them. Tablets that were written by God's finger. He broke them. He goes back up the mountain for another 40 days and another 40 nights so that he can get another set. It seems as though, as you read the scripture, it says now Moses is the one who writes them on the tablets. And he brings them back down to the people. And as he brings them back down to the people, it says his face is radiant. It says his face is glowing. Now, I do want to let you know, I shared a picture around in Sunday school. I do want to let you know this. When they translated the Bible, the Hebrew, into the Latin Bible, they chose to use the word instead of radiant. They chose to use the word that Moses had horns. So, from the Middle Ages, you will find pictures, and you can search this, you will find pictures of Moses, of statues, where he has horns. Now, why they chose to use that word when they translated it into Latin, I don't know. But I bring that to you just so you won't be confused. Okay, if you ever go to a church and see a statue of somebody with horns, that's Moses, not the devil. That's Moses, okay? But what I want you to think about is I want you to think about this light coming off of him. This light reflecting off of him. Why is it reflecting? Because he has spent time with God. Because he has spent time with God, this light is reflecting off of him. Shouldn't it happen for us? Shouldn't it happen for us? I believe that transformation happens when we meet with God. I believe that transformation happens when we meet with God. When we meet with God, we can't help but allowing that to soak into us, and there's some type of transformation that should happen when we meet with God. It should. Because all of the scripture says that we are to live a life that we become looking like Jesus Christ. And I don't know about you, but I'm sure you can tell me I'm not Jesus Christ. There's a transformation that needs to happen in my life. Does that transformation ever stop? It shouldn't. It should not. The longer we meet with God, that transformation is going to continue to happen. So transformation happens when we meet with God. Transformation happens when we allow God access to our inner self. Transformation happens when we allow God access to our inner selves. It's not just about transforming the outside of us. It's not just about making us look that way or look this way. It's something that happens inside of us at the very depths, which means we have to open that part of our life to God. We have to open that part of our life to God. And I want to let you know, if you have not done that, there is a great need for you to do that. A great need for you to open the very inner parts of your life. Now, I'm going to admit to you, too, that it can be scary. Because I personally have buried some tough things inside my life, and I have covered them over with everything that I can cover over because I don't want to admit that's me. And I don't want to dig that out again. I have covered it over so that you can't see it. I have covered it over so I can't see it. And the truth is, that's the very part that I've got to open up to allow God to transform me. That is the very part that I have to open up to allow God to transform me. I'm starting to prepare what I'm going to share when we have soup and the word here at the church. And Jesus says, you know, it's not what goes in a man that defiles him. It's what comes out of his heart. Have you got sinful ways? It comes out of your heart. You can't do like Flip Wilson and say, the devil made me do it. Didn't get very many laughs, so most of you must not know who Flip Wilson is. Okay? You can't also say that somebody else made you do it, because Jesus says it comes out of your heart. You say some words that you know you shouldn't say, it comes out of your heart. You talk evil about someone else, it comes out of your heart. That's what I'm talking about. We need to open up that inner self so that transformation can happen. We got to dig where we don't want to dig for transformation to happen. Transformation happens when we continue to meet with God over time. Moses was up on the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights meeting with God. We happened to be talking about the same thing in Sunday school, and I asked in Sunday school, do you think that that happened over those 40 days? And somebody said, no, it took much longer than that. It was a continuing, ongoing relationship that Moses had with God that brought about that transformation that caused his face to be radiant. It was not a one-time thing. Oh, I went off to a spiritual weekend and we had a high event, and such a wonderful thing that is. I feel transformed. That transformation is not going to stick, and it's not going to stay unless you continue to meet with God. The weekend may have been great, it may have been powerful, it may have changed your thinking, it may have changed your heart in some ways, but it will not stick unless you continue to meet with God. That's how transformation happens. And you see, I'm going through this because does our town not need to transform? Does the town need to transform? How do you feel? Does our state need to transform? Does our country need to transform? Okay, you guys are starting to get into it a little bit better. How about our world? Does it need to transform? How is that going to happen if we don't allow it to happen in our hearts? Mahatma Gandhi said, be the change that you want to see. I'm going to change it a little bit. Be the transformation that you want to see. Be the radiant person that you want to see in other people. How about that? That's what I want to see in other people. That's what I want to see on Sunday morning. I want to see people not dancing in the aisles, okay? But I want to see people that when I look out on your faces, I see it busting out of you. Going, I have met with God this week, and Pastor, can't you see it? I have spent time with God this week. Can you see it in my face? Let me ask you a question. You go into a room and you think about joining some place because you like some of the things that they do. And everybody in the room sitting like this. Are you going to join? Are you going to join? Then if we look like that on Sunday, why should we expect people to join here? What do you think? If that's the way we look when we come on Sunday mornings and we're saying, oh, please join us. I'm sitting over there in the pew going, I don't know. Folks, if you're meeting with the Lord, that should be coming out of your face. That should be coming out of your face in such a way that people can see it. And people will go, wow, that's what I want. That's what I want. I want my life to change and be just like what I'm seeing that person. That's what I want. I couldn't put words on it before, but now I'm seeing it. And that's what. So when you go to work and, oh, it's Monday. But what happens if you go into work and you're radiant because you've spent time with God? Besides the fact that everybody's going to move their desk away from yours. Besides the fact somebody might say you need one pot less of coffee before you come to work. Folks, if we're not radiant about our relationship with God, people aren't attracted to God. You see, people will begin to notice the transformation when we spend time with them. Not only do we need to spend time with God, but we need to spend time with the people so that they can notice how God is changing our lives. So that they can see that. And so that they can say, you know what? There is something different there that I want. And I want to talk to this person and find out how they got it. That's what Christianity should do to us. That's what our relationship with God should do to us. It should change us. And I've told people many times before, if you don't like change, then go find another religion. Because Christianity is about change. If you don't like change, it's time to quit the church and go find something else. Oh, I just want it, Pastor, I just want it to stay the same way it's always stayed. That's not Christianity. Christianity is about changing people. Can you show it in your face? Are you willing to spend enough time with God so that others can tell? Are you willing to spend enough time with God so that others can tell? Let's pray. Lord, it's tough. So many times we allow this world to catch us up in their negativism, in their poor way of looking at things. So many times we willingly take on the attitude that so many take. Well, you're lucky I'm here today. Lord, may we take on the attitude that Jesus had as he lived every day. What a wonderful and a bright and exciting day he would see each day. And Lord, change us, that as we meet with you, our hearts are transformed, that we might truly become a reflection of you in this world. And that people might see us and wonder how that happened and want it more than anything else in their own lives. So Lord, help us not to be afraid of transformation. Help us not to be afraid of change. Help us to dig where we don't want to dig, that we might truly reflect you in this world. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.